The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ormudu, and welcome to Health Chat. To this day, more than 25,000 people have been infected by the Ebola outbreak in West Africa, and over 10,000 have died from the disease. The outbreak continues in the region, but there are some good news. There has been no new cases of Ebola in Liberia recently, and Sierra Leone and Guinea are seeing fewer cases than before. However, there are still concerns in both countries. We will look at the latest on the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. And joining us in the studio is Dr. Faya Milimuno, a university professor and political activist in Guinea. Mr. Milimuno, welcome to Health Chat.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us here in our studios. Let me remind our listeners, if you would like to participate in the program, you can call our number 202-361-2111. Or you can email us your questions or your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. We will start discussing Ebola in a moment, but first, the World Health Organization says the risk of West Africa's Ebola epidemic spreading to other countries has gone down considerably, but the WHO says Ebola continues to pose a threat, so it still considers this deadly disease to be a public health emergency of international concern. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Health Organization reports real progress is being made in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea toward ending the 15-month Ebola epidemic. Nevertheless, WHO's Emergency Committee of Experts that just met to assess the current situation agrees it is premature for the international community to let down its guard. WHO Assistant Director General Bruce Aylward says the committee is quite firm in its belief that the Ebola outbreak continues to be an international health emergency.
The virus is still moving. There is still cases that are coming not off contact lists, still having deaths in the communities, etc. And the committee highlighted again and again that this began with one case, and in this current environment, until we're at zero, this may well continue to constitute a public health emergency of international concern. They did note, however, that they believe that the risk of international spread appeared to be reducing.
Dr. Aylward says the success is the result of work being done in several specific areas. He says contact tracing is essential to keep tabs on people who might be at risk of getting Ebola. This also allows communities to keep the movement of the disease under control. The senior WHO official says two other measures, exit screening by Ebola-affected countries and preparedness by these countries to rapidly address any new transmission, are important to prevent new cases of Ebola from emerging. Dr. Aylward says the emergency committee recommended that some temporary travel restrictions should remain in place, and it reiterated the importance of maintaining exit screening for at least 42 days after the last Ebola patient has tested negative.
And then probably the strongest recommendation was for all other countries that they avoid any unnecessary interference with international travel and trade and transport, and implement only the measures that are commensurate with the current public health risk and the current temporary recommendations.
The committee also opposed what it calls inappropriate health measures being implemented by some countries. These include quarantining or refusing entry in some cases of travelers returning from Ebola-affected countries. WHO reports there were only 30 confirmed cases of Ebola in the three West African countries last week. This is down from 150 cases 3 weeks ago and is the lowest number in nearly a year. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Now, Dr. Milimuno, we heard the report about how the situation is now. Good news, it seems. Things are a little bit calmed down in terms of the rate of new infections and everything. However, you just returned from Guinea. Yes. What can you tell us in terms of what is going on in your country?
Thank you again. Yes, as you said it, I just came from Guinea, and the situation is improving, as you just said. thanks to all the international donors and all the international partners. More importantly, thanks to all the medical workers in Guinea who are today our heroes. Mm-hmm. They pay the price. They've been working very hard. There is no means. There is a lot of funding, but we don't know where it is going. And we still have many, many concerns. Because, yes, the number has diminished. But in the capital city of Conakry, knowing that that city is still threatened by Ebola is of concern. Because mm-hmm. it is about 3 million people. 3 million people. And when you see how people live in Conakry in poverty and so on, one would wonder if we don't put more attention to what is going on, mm-hmm. if the situation cannot become again worse.
You're raising a good point, because when this outbreak started, it started in a place called Gekedu,
yes.
which is very, very far from the capital. Can you give us a sense of where it's located?
Gekedu is the southern part of the country. That's, as a matter of fact, it is the city where I was born.
Okay.
And it is close to Liberia, close to Sierra Leone. Okay. It's about 500 miles from Conakry.
So 500 miles from Conakry, and that was the epicenter of the disease when it first broke out. Now, what some experts have said about this outbreak specifically that was very much of concern is the fact that historically Ebola was found in remote places, in villages and everything. But this time around, it moved to the city. Now, what you just said is that there seems to be a shift in terms of where the outbreak is really present.
Yes.
So no more Gekedu, now it's more in the capital city, Conakry?
Yes, and nearby cities like Forekaria, which is also at the border with Sierra Leone.
Mm-hmm.
There is also another city called Koya and Dubreka. But in the northern part of the country also, there are some concerns in Sigirin, which is at the border with Mali.
Okay.
So you still have some new cases over there. Yes, the situation is improving, but there are still a lot of concern, as I just said.
But I guess my question is, we've seen that Liberia has not reported some cases recently, and I'm not comparing countries, mm-hmm. but we when we talk about this outbreak, it's regional. We have to talk about other countries, of course. Liberia hasn't reported any cases. From what we hear, things are better in terms of new infections. Sierra Leone has less cases, Guinea. But you are describing a situation where there are new outbreaks in pockets, in parts of the country.
Yes.
So what is going on? What is going on, really?
First, you should know that Guinea, as a country before the outbreak of Ebola, we had a health system that wasn't at all funded.
Mm.
It is about 2.74% of the national budget for health system of about 12 million people.
2.74%.
So, at this time, we didn't have anything to face the challenge. And at the beginning, many people had suggested that we put the politics aside, mm-hmm. to focus on, to consider that it is a public health issue,
mm-hmm.
emergency, and everybody should be on board to face the challenge, mm-hmm. and to fight the epidemic. It didn't happen that way.
So what happened?
What happened, we had up to now a very, very poor communication on the official side. Very poor communication. And it happened in the context where many people in Guinea don't trust the government. It's something we have to take into account. At the beginning, as people were suggesting, we should help put a systemic situation, to have everybody on board, the local leaders, the religious leaders, and social workers, the health workers. Everybody should have been on board to try to create a kind of truce between the people that were affected and the officials. But you may have heard about what happened from the beginning. The first case of Ebola in Guinea happened in December. It was around the 6th of December 2013. Guineans came to know about it by the end of March 2014. So it took like almost 4 months before Guineans came to know that they were facing one of the biggest challenges in health system. And the communication that followed was the poorest. Look, when one day I was sitting in front of my radio and I hear the president saying, look, it's not a problem. You can go to Gekedu, shake hand. It's not that much dangerous, more dangerous than malaria. Comparing Ebola to malaria wasn't something good to say by the president of the country. Okay. And we have here what he said when the Doctors Without Borders were given alerts as to say, if nothing is done, if we don't pay more attention to this threat, we will have a very, very big problem in West Africa.
Absolutely.
The same day, you will hear the president, the minister saying, no, Doctors Without Borders they are looking for money. So that's the way they have given plenty of time to the virus to spread all over West Africa.
Let me just say this for the record that we hope to have someone from the government to give that side, their side of the story, of course, because these are some serious allegations there. But you speaking from your experience, I suppose, as someone who was living there. And again, we will ensure that if we get the opportunity to talk to the president or even someone from the government, so they can respond to this. But you're raising some important issues. You talked about delay in communication, delay in informing the population, and the lack of trust.
Yes.
Now, let me say this. I spoke to Dr. Karbo, who is the Chief Health Commissioner of Sierra Leone, and he explained some of these issues that he was mentioning were kind of similar when he talked about the lack of trust from the population toward the authorities, and also even the health workers who were afraid of touching the patients because they really were afraid of dying, you know. So I guess the issue of trust have been seen not only in Guinea but other countries. At least speaking with Dr. Karbo in Sierra Leone, he clearly mentioned it that was that from the onset of the disease. I think these were some of the issues that were there in all countries, if I could say that. And there's also something that I wanted to mention when you talk about delay. Even the WHO has been criticized by some people, saying that they took too much time. And on March 23rd is when WHO published formally that there was an outbreak of Ebola in Guinea. And it's only on August 8th that WHO declared the epidemic to be a public health emergency of international concern, when before that we heard MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, going in all many media support to talk about the fact that it's a serious issue.
Yes.
And they did that very early on in the outbreak. So I guess, can we say that this outbreak took everybody by surprise? Is this why we saw all these delays? I mean, this is just a question I'm throwing out there. What do you think?
That's true that it took everybody by surprise. But let's say this. Around June 2014, I traveled to the West African region. I went to Togo. I went to Ghana. I went to Burkina Faso. Guinea was the epicenter of the illness when I was leaving to those countries. First, when I was leaving the airport, nobody checked my temperature.
From in Guinea?
In Guinea. That was in June.
Okay.
That was in June. About almost 7 months since we have registered the first case in Guinea. So when I reached Togo, at the airport, I knew there was somebody to take care of something. Everybody had gun and protections. And
you mean gun temperature?
Yeah.
To check the temperature.
To check the temperature, to make people wait until they check at least twice before mm-hmm. you've been in contact with people. It happened also in Accra
mm-hmm.
and in Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
In Guinea, nothing of that was going on at the airport. It was when I came back,
mm-hmm.
I answered some questions and did some comment on the radio. Even the guy who is the chief at the airport called me 2 days later. He said, thank God you have denounced that situation because now we're getting some kit to protect at least those people working at the airport. So that's to give you an idea of how poorly
mm-hmm.
the situation is being managed. Another example I have to give you, the government put himself in the situation to deny that Ebola was in Guinea. In June the 12th,
mm-hmm.
in June the 12th, the lady who was the director of health in the prefecture of Kourousa, this is in the middle of the country,
mm-hmm.
when she said that we have some cases in Kourousa, she was dismissed
okay.
because of that. Another example you have to know, you know, as dangerous this this virus is, In November, it was the 20th of November, we hear on the national radio that people had put some samples of that virus in the cooling machine
mm-hmm.
to ship it to Gekedu via Kisidugu. And guess what? They put it in the common transportation. With
okay,
passengers.
So you're saying that they had some sample of the Ebola virus in public transportation?
In public transportation, that happened around the 16th and the 17th of November.
So
almost 1 year after that Ebola thing broke up in Guinea.
And this information can be, is it public information?
It can be verified. You go on Google, you can see exactly the date, all the publications about it.
How did the government react to that? Or the health officials?
The health officials, the guy who is the chief of response, he says it's because at that time we didn't have all the logistic. There was a pickup that was sent to the area
mm-hmm.
that didn't reach at that time. I mean, it was 1 year later.
1 year later. Okay.
1 year later.
Okay.
So to show you that the situation is very poorly managed to the point that given the situation that around Conakry, we still have some new cases, we are very, very far from
controlling
completely that situation.
Okay, so we hope to have a follow-up on this show to ensure that the governments or someone from their side can respond to this. If these are public information, I guess, as you mentioned, we should be able to find them. Now, let's talk about solutions when we come back. We have a couple of questions here from our listeners, and they're kind of personal to you, given that you were living in the epicenter of the outbreak, at least in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali in Sierra Leone is asking, how did you stay safe during the outbreak?
First, from the beginning, I mean, I am, as you said, a teacher, and I am also a political activist.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, we put in place teams without knowing
mm-hmm.
to start teaching people how to protect themselves
okay.
against Ebola. In my house, you cannot get in without washing your hand
mm-hmm.
with the proper product, you see?
Okay.
And you have also a meter to read your temperature before you get in.
Okay.
And to go, I use not to go everywhere and shake hand and so on and so on. I told people, yes, in Africa, we love shaking hand.
Yes.
But this challenge command us to have some change of behavior, although those behavior are grounded in our values.
Absolutely.
We have to have some change. So that is how we protect ourselves up to now. And thank God. Thank God.
Okay. And we're glad to hear that you're here, to see you here and healthy and speaking with us. We're going to talk, take a short break, Dr. Milimuno. And when we come back, we will continue the discussion. And, we'll be right back after our break. But first, Liberia's President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was in Washington, D.C. at the invitation of U.S. President Barack Obama. She sat down for an interview with VOA Shaka Sali to talk about some of the lessons her government learned from the Ebola outbreak.
Well, first of all, our healthcare system was exposed in terms of its fragility as a result of this disease, and it just told us that we did not have enough of the capability in terms of trained doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals. We did not have healthcare facilities that were up to date. And so we didn't have the systems of infection control that would have minimized the spread of this disease. And so one of the lessons learned from this is that we've got to build those healthcare systems that have the capacity to respond effectively to infection. And this is why we're working with U.S. institutions such as the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health, mm-hmm. and others in the UK and others that are helping to build those systems. It will take a lot of training because the patient-to-doctor ratio in all of our countries are woefully small. We just don't have the doctors, we don't have the nurses.
Welcome back to Health Chat. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is Ebola. And our guest is Dr. Faya Milimuno. He's a university professor and political activist in Guinea. He's giving us an insight on how the crisis was handled in the country and also his experience dealing with the outbreak. Before we continue our discussion, another African head of state in the U.S. last week was Sierra Leone President Ernest Bai Koroma. Shaka Sali asked him about the impact of Ebola on trade, business, and tourism. Take a listen.
Ebola has been very devastating to all of us in the sub-region, those of us that were mostly affected by the virus. For my country, Sierra Leone, as a result of the Ebola, most businesses shut down. A good number of the mining companies ceased operations. Flights were canceled to the country. Tourism was almost brought to a standstill. And even within the country, businesses that we are operating scaled down substantially. So there was a considerable slowdown in the economy, loss of revenue to government, loss of revenue to individuals, loss of revenue to institutions and businesses. And the country was more or less isolated. Nobody ventured in. Nobody will discuss business at this time. The only visitors that continued to come in are those that related to the fight against Ebola, health officials, international NGO officers, UN agency officers, and the heads of institutions like the head of and members of the African Development Bank, the World Bank, and others. So there was a considerable shutdown of all other economic activities. So it really impacted negatively on the economy.
And that was President Ernest Bai Koroma of Sierra Leone. Before that, we heard from President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf of Liberia. Now, Professor Milimuno, you heard both presidents. Clearly, they talked about how this Ebola outbreak has impacted the health system, the country, economically, socially, I mean, so many, many aspects. Now, when you look at where we are today and the way forward. You clearly explain how things were really not handled properly from your perspective from the get-go. Now, moving forward, what do you think the solutions could be to improve the situation?
First, we should know from the beginning that Ebola was killing human beings, people who have dignity, who have concern, who have values, who have beliefs grounded in their values. So we should have taken them into account. Up to now, it is of concern that we have not been seeing that underground. We need to build some trust with people. And to just back to the ground zero of Ebola in Gekedu, that's the place where you have the Kisi people. Mm-hmm. There were hardly 5% of people who could speak another language. So we should have taken people who could better speak the language of those villagers, mm-hmm, to help them understand what was going on and how to protect themselves. We should have today, because the challenge is still here. The capital city of Conakry is on threat.
Okay.
We need at this time to have a kind of systemic design of communication involving everybody to make really people understand, not just because this illness of Ebola, mm-hmm, but for any other illnesses, any other challenges that we're going to face. At this time, I will say, we're going to be able, thank God, we have many people coming in and helping. We're going to be able to overcome the challenge. Okay. After that, we need to take some step. After the Ebola, we have so many people who are in the situation that was already very poor. Mm-hmm. And become worse, just like the two presidents have said it.
Yes.
It impacted the economy. People become more difficulties living their daily lives.
Yes.
So some step need to start being prepared so that people can help some help as to move forward.
Okay, and I wanted you to comment quickly. You talked about building some trust. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, how do we do that?
How do we do?
Mm-hmm.
In the situation like in Guinea, even though we notice that there is a mistrust between the officials and the population on the ground,
mm-hmm, very
you
quickly.
Have people in the community themselves who are trusted by the people.
Okay.
They should be used to help build that trust between the officials and the population.
So basically, tapping into the communities and working with local leaders and local. Yes. Okay. So this is actually, it's a good point because Liberia, the president of Liberia clearly talked about that. The chief health commissioner also talked about that, how they work with local leaders and advocate to tackle this door to door and everything. So thank you so much, Dr. Milimuno. It was great to speak with you today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And that was our show for today. We thank our guest, Dr. Milimuno, for joining us on this great discussion on Ebola. Join us next week for another edition of Ebola, of Health Chat, and we will discuss rather malaria as World Malaria Day is approaching on Saturday. Thank you for joining us. I'm Lino Mudu, your host in Washington, D.C., with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.